good. Well, that pretty much wraps up our business for today. Thank you all for coming. We only have one item this afternoon. Sue, could you please read item number 29?
29, adopt area parking permit surcharge allocation guidelines.
Commissioner Udaly.
Thank you, Mayor. Before we begin, I want to introduce a substitute Exhibit A that clarifies the makeup of the Stakeholder Advisory Committee, as well as further clarifies that the priority for the spending of these dollars will be focused on our city's equity goals and strategies.
Commissioner Udaly moves the substitute amendment. Commissioner Fish seconds the substitute. Any discussion? Please call the roll.
Commissioner Udaly and Matt Graham, I really appreciate your work on this, and I approve. I especially appreciate the amendments. Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Hardesty?
Aye.
Udaly?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye. Substitute amendments are on the table.
Okay. So, as we all know, parking has been difficult in Northwest Portland for a long time. I know this personally. I lived there from 1987 to 2006. But PBOT has been working hard with Northwest residents and business owners to make finding parking easier. In December 2016, Council passed an ordinance allowing the Northwest Parking District to pilot the use of new tools to manage their on-street parking. In the past 2 years, PBOT has used some innovative management tools in Northwest to encourage more people to park off-street, take transit, or bike town to work. This all helps manage the demand for on-street parking. On-street parking utilization data is used to make recommendations on changes to manage the on-street parking. It's exciting to see our city not only using data to make smarter decisions and to help improve quality of life, but it's great to see us getting more creative, introducing new tools such as the transportation wallet. Ideally, other neighborhoods with parking issues could use the tools that Northwest has had access to, and we should take what we've learned from Northwest and be able to apply that to other neighborhoods so that they can manage their parking more efficiently. We are going to hear an update on the Northwest parking permit pilot today and hear what they have learned. In addition to the Northwest report, we will be voting on an ordinance that provides guidelines for use of the permit surcharge. These guidelines have been modeled on how Northwest District used their surcharge funds. Permit surcharge funds have two primary goals: manage parking demand using price and raise funds for transportation demand management strategies and programs in the district and capital projects. The parking districts that have permit surcharge added to their permit cost have provisions that eliminate the surcharge for low-income residents. All programs and projects funded by surcharge funds will be evaluated against the citywide equity goals and strategies with the goal to alleviate transportation burdens on low-income, underserved communities, and communities of color. Staff has a presentation, and then we will have invited testimony. Can I have staff come up to the table, please? Welcome, and please state your names for the record.
Chris Arms, PBOT.
Owen Ron Kelly with Rick Williams Consulting.
Great. Thanks for being here.
Yeah. Again, I am Owen Ron Kelly. I'm with Rick Williams Consulting. We're a local parking and transportation firm here in Portland. And we've been working with PBOT on the parking management pilot since its inception. We have a couple of things to discuss with you today. One is the update of the management pilot and the ordinance on the parking permit surcharge guidelines that Chris will be talking about. As you've already stated previously, parking Northwest has been historically challenging with many different users competing to park on street. Many historic buildings that are still there today were built before cars became commonplace, and today parking challenges have been compounded with the growth of housing and employment, many vying for the same on-street resource. Since we started implementation of the plan in 2015, more than 1,000 new residential units have been built, and 1,000 more are in the pipeline. Couple that with the growth of jobs, new storefronts, restaurants, the parking demand will only continue to increase. With only 5,300 on-street spaces in Northwest, one space for every three households, there's vital need for focused in innovative parking management. After a multi-year planning process with intense public and community involvement, got to keep up with myself here. after the planning process, the Northwest Parking Management Plan was adopted in 2012. The Northwest Parking Stakeholder Advisory Committee was formed in 2014 to guide the implementation of the plan. The parking permit program was initiated in 2015. Meters followed, installed in 2016. Shortly thereafter, new tools were requested to better manage parking more efficiently, and which launched the Northwest pilot. The following year, 2017, the permit pilot began. The SAC advises the city on transportation and parking issues in Northwest. They also provide input on identifying district transportation needs and priorities to support more efficient transportation access. They meet monthly in an open forum and more frequently when reviewing survey results and prioritizing management strategies. Members are appointed by Commissioner in Charge of Transportation, and the charter states that the SAC should have 13 members, 4 representatives from the Northwest District Association, 4 representatives from the Northwest Nob Hill Business Association, and 5 at-large members. Additional outreach includes open houses, residential and employer surveys, and even door-to-door outreach. The cornerstone of good parking management is regular and consistent data collection and evaluation. We actively manage on-street parking each year using industry best practices to ensure the system is operating efficiently as possible. The parking study is conducted annually in Northwest to guide informed parking management decisions using good data. PBOT staff has worked with consultants and share recommendations with Northwest SAC to deliberate for deliberation and implementation. In 2016, PBOT asked City Council for parking requirements tied to new development as a way to mitigate unmet parking demand related to growth. City Council did not approve that and directed PBOT to try different strategies instead. The Northwest Parking Management Pilot Ordinance passed in December of 2016, authorizing the use of new management tools like limiting the number of permits and using price to regulate demand. With new tools in place, SAC recommended placing a surcharge on area permits in the 2017-18 year. The SAC recommended adding a surcharge of $120 with waivers for low-income residents to the cost of a Zone M permit, raising the annual cost to $180. The surcharge on permit funds were to serve transportation programs and projects that encourage mode shift and to also reduce parking demand in the district. We are the only city in the United States that uses these tools to manage parking demand this way so far. In the first year of the pilot, we changed the permit program by limiting the number of permits based on building size and opening date. We also limited the number of employee permits and eliminated annual guest passes or guest permits. Permit surcharges helped to limit the number of permits sold, and the revenue raised went towards programs that introduce people to new transportation options, such as the transportation wallet. This slide demonstrates some of the immediate changes following the introduction of the pilot and the resulting recommendations. A net reduction of 1,600 permits. The reduction in full-time equivalent ratio to 80% and added the surcharge, helping reduce 700 business permits. And the elimination, and again, the elimination of the guest permits. Though there was a small increase in the number of residential permits.
Commissioner Hardesty has a question.
Sure.
Excuse me, I hate to interrupt your flow, but would you go back to the last slide that you had? The 700 business permit decrease, does that mean that 700 businesses are no longer doing business in Northwest Portland?
No, these are employee permits. These are permits for employees.
Individual vehicles?
Those It's for a pass rather than yes. So it's assigned to.
Well,
that's not assigned to a
vehicle.
No,
businesses purchase permits for their employees, okay. And they're transferable from employee to employee.
Okay.
So that's what we're encouraging people to do is to share permits, and we limited the number of permits issued to 0.8 per FTE. That was how we received the reduction of 700. Before, right. It was one permit per employee. You could buy as many permits as you wanted.
Okay.
It's not a reduction on the number of businesses that have access to
or
permits.
Or the number of employees necessarily. It's just the ratio. We put a restriction on the ratio of what you could purchase.
Right.
Thank you. That's helpful.
Where do you get the data in terms of number of employees?
The employer provides it. They give us a roster of their employees and number of hours that they typically work, and we total that up, divide it by 40, and receive the number of permits.
Is that reliable information?
Yes. Okay. We believe that we're trusting them to provide good information.
Okay. And this being Portland, of course, is trustworthy.
Absolutely.
Right.
Very good.
That's right.
All right.
Yes.
Got it.
In year one, the year one results, in addition to the permit side, parking occupancies were lower in each hour of the survey after implementing the meters and the new permit program, roughly a 4.5% decrease. Peak hour decreased from 86 to 82%, and these are what we would consider very positive strides. Each year, changes are made based on parking study data and employing industry best practices. Here are some of the recommendations made after the year one study. Expanding coverage of the meters in the Northwest Parking District, redistribution of the number of 30-minute stalls and a reduction of a few of them, converting 1 hour to 2 hour stalls, amongst others.
Can you explain to me and I'm sorry I don't know the answer to this, but I really don't. The 30-minute stalls, I'm assuming, are commercially oriented. Is that a fair statement?
In this case, it depends on the district. In this case, it serves both residents and commercial purposes. So the intent was to provide 30-minute spaces for quick trips in and out of businesses, but also for residents if they're bringing lots of groceries home, they can use those 30-minute spaces.
So there's a rationalization of the 30-minute spaces to the types of businesses in that particular area, is that correct?
Yeah, to the businesses, and then also in the residential district, we try to locate one per block face, so residents in that area would have a place to pick up and drop off
whatever
it is, and then go out and search for a parking space.
All right, that makes sense. I just wanted to make sure that's what it was. Thank you.
Good. The parking permit surcharge revenue supported the transportation wallet, as we had stated. It's a suite of passes and memberships for people who use active transportation. The 2018 wallet included a free annual Biketown membership, one annual Portland streetcar pass, and $100 in TriMet hop card value. The transportation wallet was offered free for all residents' employees who gave up their parking permit. It was also available to any other Zone M employee or resident for $99. In addition to the parking studies, we surveyed businesses, residents, and visitors regularly. From a survey of people with the transportation wallet, we learned that the wallet was successful in helping people take transit and bike town more often. While encouraging people to drive less helps the city reach the overall transportation and climate goals, it's not yet clear if the transportation wallet will help reduce any parking demand. Many people report needing or wanting a car for work, family errands, or to get out of town on the weekends. There is an opportunity to do more outreach and encouragement for car sharing services to help those that don't need a car to further reduce parking demand in Northwest. We're using the survey data to improve the transportation wallet. The next version of the wallet will include more TriMet value and credits to Car2Go to help people with car sharing services.
Can you tell me how many wallets were actually issued? I'm assuming initially it's a small number. Is that accurate?
I think it was, so to date in Northwest, I believe it's over 1,000.
That's actually more than I would have thought for
in Northwest.
For
that's the combined of people opting out and purchasing.
Well, that's fantastic. Very good. And it sounds like you're also trying to increase the incentives then.
Yes.
Great.
And how does that fit with the reduction? And so is it a direct one-on-one? The wallet is helping people use more public transit or other modes of transportation?
Yeah, so if you are eligible for a permit or a business is eligible for, say, 10 permits, and they opt out of five of them, they would get five wallets and could purchase five permits. And then they can distribute the elements in the wallet amongst their employees, whatever fits their needs the most.
It's a nice incentive. What we learned from this effort was in year one, the permit pilot, the approach to managing parking and permit, we had to modify it. So extensive discussions with the SAC using data and recommendations from the consultants, lessons learned from other cities and listening to residents and community members helped inform the recommended changes to further manage parking demand. The continued high parking occupancy coupled with the interest of neighborhoods and the parking SAC to encourage new building tenants and owners to use off-street parking spurred the parking SAC and PBOT staff to find additional approaches to manage parking demand. And that's what we're looking at now, next steps. Parking management requires constant monitoring, and in Northwest, we will continue to collect data on parking utilization and survey residents, businesses, and visitors on how to manage parking better using quality data. While we don't want to sugarcoat this, getting to this point has been a heavy lift with lots of meetings and open houses. PBOT staff continually check in with people as changes are made, and get back to them in order to inform the program and process through surveys, open houses, meetings with partners, and other SAC meetings. Here's a few of the quotes that we heard from our last permit and wallet holder survey. And they're not there. Okay. So, I guess what I would say is that, of course, it's not all rosy, right? So there was a few complaints and critiques, but overwhelmingly, I think the response has been very positive about the proactive approach about how we address parking management in Northwest. And, that was a big takeaway, I think, from this. I think the wallet was very innovative, certainly, and we hope to expand its use and coverage as we go forward. So Chris is going to
next. Going right there. Okay, so I'm going to talk about the permit surcharge. So currently Northwest and Central Eastside are the only parking districts that are allowed to have a permit surcharge. In January of 2018, Council directed PBOT to initiate two additional parking management pilot areas. And at that time, so in February, PBOT asked for letters of interest from areas who wanted to participate in the pilots, and we received 9 letters of interest. PBOT then collected occupancy data in April and May to evaluate the parking issues in each of these areas. And North Mississippi and Southeast Hawthorne had the highest occupancy, and PBOT contacted these areas and held informational open houses in June. And then in June and July, ballots were sent out to evaluate support for the pilots, and unfortunately neither of the ballots passed. So at that point, staff met with representatives from both neighborhood areas, Mississippi and Hawthorne, for feedback on the process and what could be changed and what we could do moving forward. The Boise neighborhood has asked PBOT to undertake a full parking management plan for the neighborhood, and Hawthorne representatives said that they would like to wait and not enter into a pilot program at this time. And so at this now we're initiated a conversation with the community around Southeast Division. So we're working on them with them on a pilot moving forward. But before we start working with the community on new pilots, guidelines are needed to outline appropriate use of funds if an area elects to add a surcharge to the permit fees. Surcharge is added to the base cost of an area permit with the purpose of using price as a tool to manage parking and fund transportation demand management programs that are for the district they are collected in. The purpose of the guidelines is to produce clarity on appropriate use of funds, Based on these guidelines, funds will be focused on transportation demand management programs and projects. Examples include the transportation wallet, free transit passes to low-income residents and employees, car share membership, bike town, and added bike parking. All programs and projects funded by the permit surcharge will be evaluated against the citywide equity goals and strategies with the goal of alleviating transportation burden on low-income and underserved communities. Based on council input from the parking management manual this summer, members of the advisory committee will follow the same composition as what is outlined in the manual, and that is what's reflected in the amendment to Exhibit A. So that will be business owners, residents, and employees who may not live within the district. And all members will be identified with input from PBOT Equity and Inclusion Manager and the Public Outreach Coordinator. We would like to be able to take what we have learned in Northwest and the Central East Side and apply this to other areas of the city. It is important for any new parking districts to understand appropriate use of surcharge funds so they can evaluate the benefits to their community before assessing a surcharge. We would like council to support these guidelines currently being used in Northwest District for any new parking districts that may be formed. So if we have any questions.
Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you for your presentation and for making the amendments. How are low-income residents exempted? What are the criteria for being exempted from the surcharge?
In Northwest, it is a self-certification program, so the guidelines are connected to HUD, and I think we have that directly. It's the next slide, I believe.
I'm sorry, is there more presentation?
No, we have a slide that shows the low-income limits right now that are used in Northwest, and it is self-certification process. So these are the guidelines for what is identified as low-income and what is used in Northwest currently. It's a self-certification process, and at that point, you do not pay the surcharge.
And is that decided by the committee, or is that a standard?
That was identified in Northwest by the committee. The Central East Side has a slightly different program, and it is more aligned with the TriMet program.
So each district could be different on that?
It could be different, yes.
And that's determined by the advisory committee?
They advise the city on how that is determined. So it is not solely up to their discretion.
Got it. And so just so I'm understanding this, you gave us a good report on the Northwest District and some of the changes that have happened there. This item, this ordinance, is using that information and kind of making it citywide. Am I understanding that correctly?
Yes, the guidelines that are developed are based, they're modeled after Northwest and what we've learned and how we would like the surcharge funds to be used to make a direct impact on that community.
Okay. And then you alluded to changing the hours of operation in Northwest. Is that separate or is that part of this?
That's separate. Initially, we had thought that would come forward, but there's more conversation that's happening. And so that is not part of what we're asking you to vote on at this time.
And that did come that will come to us, right?
Yes, it will.
Okay. And then my final question is about establishing new permit districts.
Yes.
There was lots of discussion about the Lloyd area and the convention center and the motor center. What's the process for that kind of a program?
For permits?
Yes, so expanding it and having like an event surcharge like in Northwest.
At this point, because they are fully meter district and not a permit area, the event district would be somewhat similar to what would be happening right now in Providence Park is the name of it now, Providence Park. And so the meter rate would change based on the event. The area right adjacent to it in Elliott is looking at potentially having a permit program. But there would not be permits allowed in the metered area.
Okay, and that would come to council to approve a permit area in Elliott?
No, that does not. If they are following the current APP, the area parking permit process, then that is allowed in code. If they want something different, then that would come to council.
Okay, and then event pricing for around the motor center, does that come to council?
That was outlined in the parking manual this summer. So the parameters of that, we would be working with the community in that area, and the we'd be following the guidelines that are in the manual that was adopted.
So you just get to do it?
Based on the data, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, not just randomly. Uh-huh. Great, thank you very much.
Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you very much. I absolutely believe this is the right direction for us to be headed. I guess my concern is, what are the safeguards on how the money is spent? Because as I see is that you're supposed to prioritize equity goals and strategies, but I don't see anything in what you're presenting that talks about how you get to those equity goals and the strategies around that.
Each advisory committee would make recommendations, and they would come to PBOT, and we would work with our equity and inclusion manager to evaluate those based on the citywide goals and strategies and the PBOT-specific strategies. Did that answer your question?
Not really.
Okay.
So
let me try again.
As a community member, so I live in a community that has really no sidewalks and really bad infrastructure. And so if you were selling this permit project in East Portland where I live, I think people would be prioritizing safe travel to school. I think people would be prioritizing, how do I get to a grocery store in a food desert area? And so the equity goals in my neighborhood would be different than, say, the equity goals in Lloyd Center.
Absolutely.
And so how would that process work?
So what we anticipate and what has happened in the previously, just in Central East Side in Northwest, where we have these surcharge, is we have an advisory committee, and then we collect information from the public via meetings and surveys, and we look at projects that are identified, transportation projects that have been identified as a need through the transportation system plan, and what is in the list of neighborhood-specific projects. And then we go out and gather input from the community on what is a priority for them.
My last question has to do with the low-income exemption. The $625 per month, permit for low-income families, does that follow the MFI as well? Is that set based on the medium family income?
Yes. So this is what is specific to Northwest at this point.
Okay.
So it is something different. The threshold is different in the Central East Side. That is following more of the TriMet low-income FAIR program, where if you have an award letter from HUD or SNAP, or the income threshold is different there. So we're following it.
I would just caution you, because TriMet's low-income FAIR program is extremely new.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't know who's being left out of that program. So I hope you wouldn't only focus on what TriMet is doing, but that we're truly looking to make it equitable for very low-income people, and we're not pricing them out of their community.
Absolutely.
Thank
Absolutely.
You.
Question, Mayor.
Commissioner Fish.
I think you had in an earlier slide a recommendation that the SAC in Northwest is going to take up to push the time to 8 o'clock. And that's not an issue before us.
Correct.
But that's what the stakeholder advisory committee may be contemplating in terms of pushing. So I think we're all used to reading meters. I actually find the meters in Northwest Portland the hardest to read of all. If it's at 5 or 6 o'clock, it's impossible to read the way the new ones are structured. But I get that, for most of us, it's a 7 or 8 o'clock limit. Why around the convention center is it a 10 o'clock limit?
The events that are specific. That's why it stops at, I believe it's 6th Avenue. So anywhere from 6th Avenue to the west, and specific to events in the convention center and the Moda Center and the Coliseum.
Regardless of what the event is?
Correct.
But we have the technological capacity to tailor that, don't we?
Yes, we do. It's very difficult, but yes.
Well, I raised this with Commissioner Daly earlier. I found it ironic, anomalous, I don't know what the right word is, that on New Year's Eve, when 5,000 people celebrating sobriety were doing a powwow at the convention center.
Excuse me, Commissioner, your mic isn't on.
When people were taking 5,000 people were off the streets, not drinking at one of our most dangerous evenings at the convention center, we were charging full freight until 10 o'clock. Powwow went to midnight. But still, for families, many of them low-income families, they were coming to that event, say coming at 5 to hit the prime events, they were being charged for 5 hours to be there. I would think that we'd want to find a way to incentivize people on New Year's Eve to stay off the streets and be at a sobriety powwow, given all the other negative things that happen on our streets. But technologically, we do have the capacity to tailor that, at least.
Yes, we do.
For specific events.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Very good. Does that complete your presentation?
It does.
It does.
All right, thank you. That was very helpful. Public testimony, Sue.
We have one testifier, Tony Jordan. Or there are other testifiers. Okay.
Oh.
There's invited testimony. Okay. We'll do the invited testimony first then. Commissioner Udaly. If you were invited, come on up. Everybody will get a chance, I promise.
Welcome. Please state your name for the records.
Hi, I'm Juliana Lukasik.
Well, yeah.
And go ahead.
Yeah,
is that
go
what you're
ahead.
Saying? Okay,
yeah, you
great.
Bet. Thank you.
So I am Juliana Lukasik, and many of you know me through my association and work with the Central East Side Industrial Council. But today I'm here to express my personal opinions as a small business owner and property owner in the Central East Side. The Central East Side is an example of the broader use of a permit surcharge. We have utilized it to help us form an ESD, and we have also used it to clean up and promote safety on our right-of-ways. A large percentage is dedicated to transportation demand management projects, for which we have statistics that indicate we have been highly successful in efforts to help employees and visitors use alternative transportation options. We are especially interested in expanding transit options with these resources. One of the things we're very proud of is that, and I don't have the numbers, of course, but we also have been using the transportation wallet with great success, because the Central East Side is a particularly difficult district for parking, and the more permits we can reduce, the better for us. So we've been really successful in that use of the surcharge. The permit surcharge is the central. the permit surcharge in the Central East Side is would be a part of the proposed ESD city match, which also includes 51% of net meter revenue. We will be asking you to approve the implementation of our ESD later this month, which will be an excellent example of a program that creates a partnership between businesses and the City of Portland.
Ms. Lukasik, could you say that again? Because the question I was going to ask you is, what is the relationship between the surcharge program and the ESD application that we have coming up, I think, next week? So are they separate and distinct programs, or if they overlap, how do they overlap?
We were the original we're the reason that the permit surcharge exists, and we sort of have used it in ways that others not necessarily have used it. We are currently using the permit surcharge to help us in the massive undertaking of outreach to implement an ESD. How that is used in other districts is sort of the question of the day. And we believe that it could be used to help districts form an ESD potentially, but there should also be, I'm sorry, an enhanced services district.
Thank you.
Yeah, sorry about that. So they are separate, and a formation of an ESD is a one-time event. And so all of the funds from the permit surcharge are really we are more interested in using those funds for transportation demand management and transit.
Thank you.
So basically, the permit surcharge in the Central East Side would be a part of the proposed ESD match, which I mentioned also includes 50% of net meter revenue. So in our case in the Central East Side, we started with the parking permit surcharge as we collected data to to demonstrate the need for meters. And as meters come into the district, we have a 51% of net meter revenue. So eventually, the parking permits should disappear, and the permit and the meters should actually become a greater presence in our district. ESD, the Enhanced Service District, will be an excellent example of a program that creates a partnership between the businesses and the City of Portland. It is important to note that the Central East Side Industrial District and those supporting the formation of the ESD are predominantly small business owners like me. So I wanted to note that in the Central East Side, the mass majority of the property owners and businesses are all businesses that are under 20 employees. So that's an important distinction. That's unlike any of the other business districts, and it's something that I'm particularly proud of being a part of that community. The Central East Side is a successful example of how a diverse district that includes mostly small businesses and residential can work together to promote programs that work for everyone. And the permit surcharge has been a big part of that success. While the Central East Side Industrial Council utilized our permit surcharge to form an ESD, I strongly encourage you all to direct an effort to establish a comprehensive program for a neighborhood or a district to establish an ESD. Permit surcharges could be a funding source, but we have need for we need alternative sources for smaller districts who may not have a substantial enough permit surcharge or no surcharge at all to utilize it for ESD formation. Which again, I feel strongly is the goal of that is to help people have transportation demand management options, and that I think is an excellent use of the permit surcharge. I am very pleased to have partnered with the dedicated staff of PBOT over the years, and I, as a private citizen, ask that you approve their guidelines for future APPs.
I'm a little confused, though, because the Enhanced Service District does more than transportation management.
Yes, it does.
So it doesn't seem to me that this is an allowable use of surcharge.
So the ESD is the private funding side of a relationship with the city, much like the Lloyd District. We have a partnership with the city. The transportation side of it is the permit surcharge would be used for the transportation demand management. The private money raised through an ESD, which is separate from, so they are two separate entities, would be used for other things like safety and cleanup and security.
Okay, thank you.
I
also wanted to assure you, Mayor Wheeler, that as a business owner who has used permits, I am a very reliable source for FTE information.
All right. We know one
on the
person.
Record.
Oh, I can vouch for many businesses. I can vouch for many businesses.
Is that because the form says under penalty of perjury?
Exactly. We do not want to have to answer to Chris Arms. So.
Well, plus you're all watching what each other are doing. So if one business has magically a permit per
exactly.
employee.
Exactly. I mean, it really does self-police because it's like the parking is so hard in our district. And so if we saw some other business having a whole bunch of permits, we would question that.
Well, you know me. I can't help myself. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks for your time.
I appreciate
like
you daily.
To clarify something, in the ordinance, we create a definition and list that clearly focuses these funds on transportation related items, not livability. So I'm afraid we've gotten a little off track, and I want to focus on the matter at hand today.
I apologize for that. There, I did want to make the distinction that there are two. There are the private side, and then there is the transportation side, and those definitely are two different things.
And you did that at the end. I appreciate that, but there's been a flurry of what's...
Yes, I know.
What is she talking about in the room? So I needed to clarify that.
Thank you for the clarification. You bet. Thank you.
Good afternoon. I'm Rick Michelson. I'm the chair of the Northwest Portland SAC, and I've been working on parking issues for over 40 years in Northwest Portland now.
You still haven't found a parking spot.
I own a number of parking spots, in fact, but we won't get into that. As you know, Northwest Portland has grown quickly with increasing jobs, increasing housing units. but it remains a really diverse community. And the two main census tracts in Northwest Portland are actually low enough income that they would qualify for the Opportunity Zone program. So we're dealing with equity and dealing with trying to make sure that people are dealt with fairly throughout the district, which also means it's very hard to charge people a lot of money for permits when they need their cars to go to work, which is why we instituted the low-income thing. We started out selling 10,000 parking permits the first year for 5,000 parking spaces. That was kind of out of whack. With a combination of the surcharge and putting some limits on spaces, on the number of permits that a business could have, for instance, that number has been reduced to around 7,000 permits sold. Our consultants tell us that we need to get that down to about 5,900, which is going to be really tough. We've done the easy stuff so far. By putting the permit surcharge in, businesses that were just buying a permit for every employee, even though those employees only work 2 days a week, are now sharing those permits. Residents who had permits for five cars initially, because they were so inexpensive, have cut that down to one or two cars. So we've made those kinds of changes. But getting people to give up their cars because of the price of permits would make it inordinately expensive for many of our residents. We estimate that the market value of a parking space on street is probably $60 to $80 a month. But to charge anything near that would mean that people who need their cars to work would not be able to live in our neighborhood anymore. Another interesting thing about this is it really doesn't matter how many permits are out there. It's how many permits are being used at any given time. For instance, we have around 3,000 employee permits, but our most recent survey, only about 800 of them were being used on a given day. So to get the down to the number being used is not really that important. Similarly, the residential permits, the best thing that could happen to Northwest Portland is if all the residents drove to work every day and freed up those spaces. But that is so contrary to our livability goals and everything that that's not a direction we're moving in. What we're trying to do through the TDM programs and through the surcharge is really incentivize people to look at alternatives to keeping a car in the neighborhood. But owning a car is very convenient, and I think most people will continue to own cars if they can afford to, so we're looking at better ways of managing it. One of the things we learned recently is that in addition to the 6,000 on-street spaces in Northwest Portland, there are 12,000 off-street spaces. So one of our next focuses is going to be focusing more on shared parking, making sure those spaces are used to the extent possible and are not sitting there empty while those spaces on street are there. We probably need control or access to about another 700 parking spaces in Northwest to get the system in balance. And one way, obviously, would be to build them, but we're not proposing that. The other way is to make sure that the spaces that are off-street are used more efficiently by more people, so that in that way we increase the availability of parking without increasing the number of parking spaces. As Owen said, this is a work in progress. Things will change every year for the next few years. But we think we've gotten a handle on the data and gotten a handle on what's going on so that we can begin to move forward. You raised some questions about the changes in hours on for enforcement. And while that's not directly before us today, I thought I'd make two comments. One is we want to start enforcing later in the morning because the spaces on 21st and 23rd Avenue don't fill up until 11 o'clock. And if we didn't start enforcing until 10 o'clock, a resident who couldn't find a space any place but on 21st or 23rd would not have to get up so early to move their car out of there before they started getting tickets. The evening recommendation of extending it is our consultants feel strongly that meters are one of the ways to control usage. And if the usage is too high, we should do things like increasing the cost of the meter or increasing the enforcement availability. We have two peak hours of parking demand in Northwest Portland. One is from 11 to 12, which is well covered by the enforcement and the meters now. But the other is between 7 and 9 p.m., which is not enforced at this point. So that's why we're looking at extending those hours to 8 to pick up some enforcement there. Hasn't been discussed by the SAC yet. So we don't know whether that's going to be a real recommendation or not.
So is the concern a business concern or a residential concern or both?
At that time, the biggest concern is residents who come home from work and can't find a place to park because other people are there. We don't know who those other people are there at that time, and that's one of the things we need to find out. You know, if it's turning out that those spaces that evening are being used by people that should be there, customers or others, we don't want to chase them away.
Right, that's what I was thinking.
Rick, you know, in 21st and 23rd, you've got an interesting mix of businesses, but let's take just the service businesses. On 21st, the guy that repairs shoes and does shoe shine, or let's go on 23rd and the place that my son dispatches me regularly to pick up a pizza as escape from New York and places like that. Do we have the right mix of short-term parking that allows people to go in and do a quick transaction at some of those service businesses? Or what's your overall assessment?
I think the balance is about right. One of the things we did most recently is look at the number of 30-minute spaces and how they're being used. Those are the short pickup spaces. And they were being way underused. In other words, there was not as much demand as we were providing supply for, so we've cut back on that supply by about half to get that better in balance. The other place of balance now is there are some spaces that can be used only if you pay and other spaces that can be used if you pay or if you have a permit. The balance of those is probably off, and we're adjusting that as well. We're also doing some work at looking at loading zones and seeing if they're being used appropriately. So I think we've got the balance fairly close, but it's never going to be perfect, and will continue to be adjusted.
Thank you.
Good afternoon.
Afternoon. Commissioner Fritz had a question. Sorry.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to comment, and thank you, Rick, that we had this on the agenda a month ago in December, and I couldn't help but remember December of 2012 when I think I still have emails that I should have responded to because of the volume of concern and the fact that you and the group have been able to get it so that it's basically moving forward and people may have suggestions and such and not be entirely happy with it. But what a difference, and thank you very much.
I think it was one of the best decisions for Northwest Portland to implement this program. It hasn't been easy, but I think it's well worth doing, and I think it's well worth the amount of energy the committee spends on it. As you see, we meet 18 times a year to make sure that everything's working right.
So could you thank the whole committee from the council? Because
we will. Thank you.
We are all very grateful.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon again. My name is Tony Jordan. I represent Portlanders for Parking Reform. I think that this Northwest parking pilot is really important, and I think that the results show that better management of our parking supply can work to make parking more accessible and convenient. The results also show that I think a lot more can be done and needs to be done to truly make parking equitably accessible, convenient, and to ensure that parking management helps us meet our various goals. Some citizens are understandably frustrated that it's still hard to park and they still have to pay. And until we're charging a rate that supports an optimal occupancy, and that rate might change depending on the time of the day of the week, the time of the day, day of the week or the time of the day, then there's a valid argument to be made that the city is charging more without solving the problem for people. So I think we should certainly aim to speed up the implementation of performance pricing and adjusting hours of enforcement so that the public right of way can be used to facilitate commerce and fellowship with a minimum of greenhouse gas emissions and traffic collisions. How we spend the revenue from parking is also very important, and I think that the Northwest Parking District is hitting the nail right on the head with the transportation wallet. It's a really innovative program. I promote it every chance I get. The surcharge revenue guidelines proposed are great because they're in line with that, and I strongly encourage you to approve them, and I think it will be good when they're implemented citywide. I do think that the one caveat would be that wherein we're using those revenues for shared parking, I do think it is important in the short term to try and provide additional capacity. But the long-term goals of the city are to reduce car trips. And so if you are adding capacity or opening up capacity, you are potentially increasing the amount of trips. So I think those should always be looked at with caution and with a good balance of how new supply balances with trying to just convince people who can to take other modes. Sorry, Mike. phone locked up. I'm all happy to see that equity considerations are in the revenue allocation guidelines, but I also think we need to do more to bridge the gap of transportation subsidies we provide to low-income people with cars versus those we provide to people without them. It's understandable that we provide discounts to low-income drivers who buy permits, a $105 annual subsidy currently in Northwest, but why don't we provide free transportation wallets to low-income residents who don't buy a permit at all? So I do think that there, in a lot of these programs, we subsidize, and it's good, make it easier for people with low incomes who need to drive for their job, but there are people who don't own a car, and there's no subsidy being provided to them, and that I think is a whole area that can be focused on. Done properly, parking management can be a win-win-win. We can meet climate goals, we can make it safer and more convenient to visit our commercial districts, and we can use the money in a redistributive manner to further shift modes and to provide economic assistance to the people who need it the most. So I think we should do it, and this is good stuff. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jordan. What title would you give yourself in respect to the role you play in this issue? Because calling you a parking advocate sounds like you are advocating for parking
reform advocacy.
Parking reform, yes. Advocate, okay. And I just want to let you know that providing free transportation wallet would be an appropriate use of the surcharge, and it's something that my staff made sure was included in this list because we are diligently working in my office and in PBOT to avoid further burdening low-income residents. It's a top priority when we're talking about transportation, is equity and access and inclusion. And finally, I'll just say, if Tony Jordan likes something we're doing, I'm doing something right, but I'm probably
maybe he's
ticking
doing
off a bunch
wrong.
Of other people.
You know, probably, maybe. My son says a lot of people in town don't like you, you know. So
aww.
How old
is
your son?
Is he?
He's 12. Oh, yeah. Well, that's, of course.
That's expensive.
Yeah, he's often one of them, yes. But, you know, I like to, when something comes up, a comment on the internet, you know, we'll sometimes talk about it. And he knows that, you know, not everyone agrees with my what I think we should do.
Appreciate your work and your support.
And if I could add just one thing about the low-income transportation wallet, we would love to be able to provide those free for all the people who could get them. We don't have the revenue source. We can look at increasing the surcharge some more for subsidies, but it's too complicated for us to deal with as our first step.
That's good feedback.
We need to make TriMet free for everybody, don't we?
I think that Central East Side would echo that. We're very interested in those kinds of conversations for sure.
Very good. Thank you. Does that conclude invited testimony?
That does conclude
all right.
Invited testimony.
Sue, did we have a couple of folks signed up?
No one else.
Nobody else? Anybody here who wanted to testify didn't get the opportunity? No takers? All right. Very good. Please call the roll.
Fritz.
Thank you very much to everybody who's been involved, Dave Benson, Matt Grum, Yesenia Carrillo, and my staff. And as the commissioner in charge of the Office of Equity and Human Rights, I really appreciate the use of the council's adopted citywide racial equity goals and strategies and the commitment to use that. You do have fantastic equity manager in the Portland Bureau of Transportation, and I appreciate all of my colleagues having that front and center of all of the concerns that we're looking at here, and indeed the acknowledgement from Rick Michelson that there are some low-income people who have to be able to drive to work. Either the bus doesn't go there at the right time, or it just takes too long to get between jobs to make ends meet. So thank you for bringing that, and I greatly appreciate Commissioner Daly and your staff's helping me figure this out as to what we're doing and why, and I'm very supportive now. Aye.
Fish.
Well, Commissioner Fritz, for the first time in the 10 years that I've served with her today, confessed that she was behind in her responding to her emails.
I know. Cut that too.
I
don't believe it.
But I think the point that she was making is that the easiest way to fill this chamber and to extend the clock on a hearing was to either talk about transportation and parking in Northwest Portland or a rate increase in our public utilities, or some combination of the two. And we literally could pack the place on both issues. It took a long time for us to get both right. But on the transportation side, the fact that this is now no drama, and instead we're talking about how to use these resources wisely and how to align them better with equity, is a quantum leap from the conversation we used to have here, which was basically a huge level of skepticism about implementing any plan and then huge opposition. And here we are. So to the SAC and to people like Rick Michelson, who've been working on this issue for a long time, I want to echo what Commissioner Fritz said. We owe you an enormous debt of gratitude. There's a lot of issues that we currently deal with where, you know, two or three people show up and testify, where hundreds used to sign up, and we used to go into the evening, and there was genuine rancor. And it takes a lot of hard work to get to a point where there's this level of trust and where the system is working and on balance pretty well. And as I've learned, it almost invariably requires the intervention of people outside of this building.
Certainly.
To get us to that point. It's the trust and credibility that the citizen who are engaged in these issues bring, which is really the secret sauce. So I couldn't be more pleased with the presentation. I want to thank Commissioner Udaly for bringing this forward. It was an outstanding presentation, and I couldn't be happier with the direction that we're headed. And the idea that that offering this wallet of incentives as an inducement to not use a parking pass is really inspired. And the fact that we actually see a trend line where we could be under capacity at some point is really encouraging. So congratulations to all. I'm very pleased to vote aye.
Hardesty.
I also want to appreciate the hard work that's gone into bringing this initiative forward. And certainly Northwest Portland has had parking problems the entire time I've lived here, and I'm coming up on my 30th year. And so the good news is the rest of Portland has an opportunity to learn from you and to learn from how community and government and businesses can work together and try to find the best solution possible. And so I am very grateful for the hard work that's been done. I would be remiss if I didn't put on a record that I just want to make sure that we're using these resources to actually reduce the transit barriers for very low-income people, and that we are very mindful that that the range of incomes in Northwest and in other areas of our city are enormous. And so the more we can do to make public transit available for more people, the better we're going to be as a city. And so thank you all for your good work. Thank you, Commissioner Udaly, and your staff for the work that you've done. And I vote aye.
Udaly.
Well, I just want to start by reiterating our commitment to coming up with innovative solutions to mitigate, reduce, eliminate barriers to low-income residents. We cannot be making it harder for low-income individuals to live and work in this city. And I'd also just like to add disability to that list. It's something that I didn't have a chance to discuss, but I am concerned with how these plans may impact people with mobility challenges or other health issues that legitimately need to park or are more reliant on cars, because we don't have the greatest accessible citywide public transit service, and need to park closer to their homes. So that's another little angle for us to get at. Thank you for the presentation, the testimony, and discussion. As is clear, this is complex and challenging work, and it's great to know we have such dedicated volunteers and staff digging into the myriad issues that parking and permit programs produce. I'm especially gratified by the opportunity this gives us to be innovators in the country, as well as in around the rest of the city, around parking privileges, and to highlight how to effectively use these privileges to directly benefit those without them. It's my hope that communities who opt to utilize this parking program will choose to spend that money to the greatest benefit for the most disadvantaged residents. Now I'd like to thank all the community partners and specifically the chairs of our advisory committees in Northwest and the Central East Side, which are Rick Michelson and Juliana Lukasik, respectively, who both spoke today, as well as